This episode is brought to you by the House of Chanel.
Chanel Connects, a new podcast series connecting creative game changers from across the arts in conversation from their homes and studios. Tilda Swinton, Keira Knightley, Edward Annenfeld, Pharrell Williams, and many more.
So you just witnessed the turning point. That was the turning point in action.
This is Chanel Connects, available wherever you get your podcasts.
My driver's license last week, just like we always talked about. Cause you were so excited for me to finally drive up to your...
Welcome to the New York Times podcast. There's a story at the bottom of this four-piece, and I'm the pen. Of music, news, and criticism, I'm your host, John Caramonica.
And you're probably with that blonde girl who always made me doubt. She's so much older than me. She's everything I'm insecure about. Yet
do you guys feel the air shifting? Do you feel the thickness of the air in the room changing? That's because you're listening to the most popular song on the planet. It's Driver's License by Olivia Rodrigo. It's early in the year. We already have a legitimate blowout phenomenon in pop that basically didn't exist in calendar 2020. This song has broken streaming records. It is the number one song on the Billboard Hot 100 for 2 weeks running. And we are going to get into all things Driver's License. We're going to talk about its unprecedented success. Joe Coscarelli is here. We're going to talk about the streaming records it's broken. And Joe talked to Olivia. We're going to get into that. And later in the show, Larisha Paul and Justin Curto are going to call in. And we're going to talk about the context of Driver's License, what had to happen first in order for it to become as big as it is, and what are the musical movements that it is a extension, continuation, and furthering of. But Joe, hello.
Yes, I'm here.
PCR Relly is here. Joe, January's pretty dull usually, right? Like January, you know, like this is the time of the year where I feel like we're all just playing catch up. We're kind of like, nothing's going to happen. It's like, it's light right now. And then boom.
Especially this January. I basically felt like the music industry had been for the past, you know, 3-4 weeks, you know, the end of the year into the beginning of the year. It was basically like March and April of 2020 all over again, in that like no one knew if there was going to be music coming out. No one knew if there was a point to trying to be a famous musician.
Yes.
At this exact moment. And then, you know, I wake up on a Saturday morning and I start seeing a name that I'd only ever seen in passing. And here we are.
I think part of the reason the song was able to accelerate at the pace that it did and kind of blossom in the way that it has is precisely because of what we're talking about, because nobody else is on the playing field right now. There is quite literally no competition. There's no major A-list pop stars putting out albums or even releasing singles from albums. It's a real dry territory. And you combine that with an extreme amount of energy and thirst on TikTok, and things happen very quickly. Can you talk a little bit about what lit the match for Driver's License?
Yeah, that's a great question, because I think that the match was lit. I'm going to like sort of mutilate this metaphor in the process, but like from multiple directions all at once. And for the piece I did about Driver's License and it hitting number one and sort of how we got to that moment, I think what I really learned is that everyone knew behind the scenes that this was going to be a thing. They just didn't know how big of a thing it was going to be. Olivia Rodrigo, 17 years old, from Southern California, from Temecula, which is a place I only ever knew because of the great NBA Twitter moment, Meet Me in Temecula, in which two NBA fans fighting on Twitter were going to meet to punch each other, I think, over Kobe Bryant.
Shout out to the four people who listen to podcasts who will also be on NBA Twitter and appreciate that.
I think maybe slightly more than four, but not that many more.
Okay.
anyway, that's where Olivia Rodrigo is from. This is a girl who is the star of the reboot of High School Musical. High School Musical, the musical, the series, right? So this
she plays Nini, the main female character.
As far as I understand from this show, she plays a high school student who is cast in the role of the female lead in High School Musical within the High School Musical show. Is that right?
It's a meta show.
Yeah.
Which, to be fair, look, if you have intellectual property like High School Musical, right, you can't just keep doing new High School Musical. You have to find a way to like inject some kind of vim into the property. And a meta show about High School Musical is actually kind of a smart way to do it.
Right. So it's kids who grew up knowing what High School Musical was within the universe of the High School Musical show. it's pretty amazing, actually. Yeah. It's like Black Mirror. And really the driver's license drama that, you know, we will get to sort of fits perfectly within that framework to continue the Hall of Mirrors. So I spoke to the co-head of music at Spotify about how you prep for a song like this, right? So this is the debut single outside of the Disney universe of a star who already has a huge audience among tweens and teens, right? So she signed to Geffen, which is a sort of zombie label that is rebooting and that, you know, falls in the framework with Interscope Records, part of Universal Music Group. It's the biggest label in the world. They have this star to be gestating, getting ready to cross over into a non-High School Musical world. And they have this killer ballad, this killer power ballad in their pocket. So I asked the Spotify guy, I said, you know, what do you do to get ready when something like this is about to drop? And he said, you know, their label partners came to them a month before maybe the song was going to come out. And everyone was pretty excited for it, right? Like this is, you know, they knew this was going to be a thing. But, and you and I talked about this, you can sort of gauge how big a song is supposed to be based on how Spotify plays it up on the day of its release.
On day one. Yeah. And we should say it was not in the first 10 songs of the New Music Friday playlist. Maybe it was like in the second 10, but it wasn't in the first 10.
And I think most podcast listeners probably know this because they're a savvy bunch. But, you know, for anyone dabbling, if you wake up on a Friday morning and you pull up the New Music Friday Spotify playlist, you can sort of see the priorities of the major label system and therefore the streaming services in how these songs are promoted. The order, the way it flows, you can see the strings a little bit there. So this Olivia Rodrigo song, like you said, not at the top of the playlist, not the first song that people are going to hear when they fire up all the new algorithm music for the week.
Fire up. Hey, honey, fire up the algorithm.
Exactly.
Fire up the Caramonica algorithm. I need to feel sated.
I mean, so you would have had to spend some substantial time with the algorithm to even get to this song in the way that Spotify was feeding it to you. I think, you know, it was placed prominently in Teen Beat, the Spotify playlist for teen pop. I think that's where they really gave it its moment to shine. And the reason I'm going through these sort of, you know, inside baseball, behind the scenes machinations is because I think it's really telling for something like this that was both going to be big no matter what, but also became way bigger than anyone thought it would be, right?
And this is where we have to talk about TikTok a little bit, because
yes,
you know who doesn't care about what number you are on the Spotify New Music Friday playlist? People on TikTok, they don't care.
Right. They're going to move you right up by their own force of will.
And so Olivia Rodrigo obviously already had a baked-in following on TikTok, and very, very quickly after that song's release, within hours, certainly within a day or two, the audio of that song was just quite literally everywhere. And one of the things that I've been struck by, and just to kind of jump ahead of ourselves a little bit, is if this was going to be some flash in the pan, hey, do you remember that one week we all listened to Driver's License type thing? You would expect those videos to have subsided by now. But one of the interesting things that I've noticed in week three, I guess we're in on TikTok of that, is it's now just a standard use audio for my hike. I went hiking, and driver's license is the music. You know, we're talking about GameStop and the stock crash, and like for some reason the music is the Olivia Rodrigo song. You know, it's just become a kind of default, I need a vibe kind of for this conversation audio. And I think if it was a less successful song with less staying power, it would have just fizzled by now. And also, and we don't have to get into all this, but you know what you don't really hear very much on TikTok are Sabrina Carpenter or Josh Bassett. But anyway, that's for another conversation. Please continue.
I don't even know what those names are that you just said. So, I mean, this is like you said, this is basically the only song that exists, right? Like this is scoring everything that anyone under 25 is doing, like at any given moment of late. So I think, you know, you see by the weekend, you know, we're talking about Thursday into Friday when it comes out, by Saturday and Sunday, these streaming services are realizing like they have a supernova on their hands, right? So the way you see that playing out on Spotify, and the reason I'm focusing on Spotify is because, you know, it remains the biggest of the DSPs of the streaming services. And, you know, when I sort of crunch the numbers, it's responsible for over 60% of all the plays of this song in its first week. So this was, you know, the main platform sort of pushing it. And what you see when the numbers are growing organically is that then Spotify wants to feed that momentum. So it, you know, so it's moving up on playlists. She's becoming the little thumbnail photo at the top of them. And then, you know, by the end of the week, they told me it was on 150 official Spotify playlists, you know, from single digits to 150 in a matter of days. And I think this is just an example, an illustration of the way that, you know, these huge machines that push most of the pop stars we hear and discuss converge with grassroots, genuine, unfakeable enthusiasm on behalf of fans. And I think you get that in part because, you know, when you're talking about the match that's being lit, she does have this existing audience. And she did a really good job sort of teasing the release of this song. You know, she was on Instagram Live all night when it was coming out. She had already made TikToks previewing it. She made TikToks as soon as it was released. So the official audio was there to then reblog with your own TikToks. Like all of the pieces were in place. I just think it worked more smoothly than anybody could have imagined.
And also, I think it does underscore the schism that still exists between Gen Z native and younger, and even like plugged in millennials or older than millennials who can kind of like acknowledge that, yeah, this will probably be a thing. This will, you know, this is going to happen, versus people who are like very, very fervently committing themselves to making this a thing. Can you talk a little bit about the streaming records? I don't like to get too much into statistics on podcasts because I just don't think they're that exciting, but I do think these are notable. These are notable numbers.
Yeah. I mean, just the songs that it's in conversation with, you know, when you're looking at these record books. And of course, streaming is still growing as a medium. So these records are broken all the time, right? They don't last very long because the medium itself is still reaching new peaks. So naturally, you know, the songs are following. But, you know, I think on January 11th, right, that's like its fourth day out or something, it set the daily record for global streams for a non-holiday song. So this is a little wonky because All I Want for Christmas Is You is so big now. And speaking of playlists, you know, the first song on literally every holiday playlist, both official and unofficial. So that sort of gets its own category. But if you're talking non-Christmas songs, Driver's License had more global streams in a single day than any other song. That's beating Ed Sheeran, that's beating Ariana Grande, that's beating WAP, you know, that's beating Drake, God's Plan. Like, and then the next day, it topped its own number, right? So it's just like, and I think what you're seeing there, by the time you get to past the weekend, when it sort of simmers with its natural young audience on TikTok, by Monday morning and Tuesday, and as the week goes on, then you start to get the curiosity gap listens, right? Where people are seeing TikTok in there.
Did you come up with that phrase?
Curiosity gap is what they call, back in the blogging days, what they call headlines that are like big, bold questions, you know, big, like open-ended questions, like the Huffington Post model of getting people to click on stuff. So I'm sort of taking that from a past life and applying it to pop music. You like that?
I do. I also feel like this is a good opportunity for my annual plea for someone to pay Joe to write a book about the history of the blog.
Oh, God. No, thank you.
And of course, the title of the book is, of course, What Was the Blog?
Right. There you go. All right. So, you know, what I mean by that in this case is like you're on Twitter, you see the name Olivia Rodrigo, maybe you see driver's license, you see people making jokes about it. You start to see headlines like, what is this song about? Who is this girl? You know, and then you get that whole extra oomph of people playing it to find out what everybody else is talking about. Because automatically it was talked about as this sort of like secret club, right? Like if you're not up on driver's license within 2 days, then like you must have no feelings. And then I think you start to see normal people who might not immediately engage with a 17-year-old Disney star playing the song, which brings us, I think, to the quality of the music, which all of this stuff can happen for songs that are bad, but for people to go back and listen again and again and again like that, I think usually indicates some quality in the songwriting or the production or the melody or whatever, what have you.
It's a very taut production. It's big without feeling overwhelming. You know, it's like big, but still like hiding behind the couch, kind of. It's some combination of the two of those things. And I think that's really effective.
It's also very familiar while also feeling fresh, right? Like it, you know, the first names I think you start to see are Taylor Swift, Lorde, you know, especially when I hear that bridge with all the stacked melody, all of the vocals, which are, you know, all Olivia just harmonizing with herself. Like to me, that's just like classic pop Lorde, you know, and I think it scratched that itch for a lot of people. And, you know, it is very reminiscent of a song like Royals that just sort of came out of seemingly nowhere from a team, but also had this big machine behind it to make sure it could capture all of that attention.
It's having the impact of kind of like a 2.0 Billie Eilish song, but was rolled out like a 1.0 Billie Eilish song. But I think that also speaks to like the accelerating maturity of internet and social media delivery systems, which is to say that if Billie Eilish were starting today, this could have happened for Billie in this same way. But because TikTok didn't really exist at the time that Billie was starting, she was, you know, her stuff was on SoundCloud. It's like the sharing mechanisms were not as advanced as they are right now. So it just shows how fast the system is working. The social media system, the label system is still a little bit behind them.
The other thing I think it has in common with the rise of Billie Eilish is that it feels overnight, but it's also taken years, right? So when you start to dig back into Olivia Rodrigo and where she came from and sort of where this song bubbled up from, you realize that like she's a lifer, you know what I mean? There's videos of her on YouTube singing on stages when she was in single digits, you know, age-wise. She's just been prepared to sort of seize this moment. And that, I think, really comes to a head with her big song from High School Musical, which seemingly is how she ended up getting signed to a major label contract.
You're talking about All I Want, which was a TikTok hit, is a TikTok hit on its own. And certainly has, in production at least, a little bit more singer-songwriter-y. It's a little bit more soporific. It's a little mopier. It's still like emotional, but it's a little mopier. But it did show that she has the goods that are clear in Driver's License were clear in this other song as well.
And the most important thing to note about it, I think, is that she wrote it, right? Like she was given the opportunity as a songwriter to come up with a song that her character was going to sing at, I guess, is a pivotal moment. And that sort of...
So I hear.
I did a lot of research, but I did not yet watch High School Musical.
We're going to watch it together.
Yeah, right. But she, you know, she basically proved right off the bat that she had chops on her own. And then you can sort of pick through her social media or the YouTube compilations and see that she's been trying out additional songs of her own, you know, whether it's on acoustic guitar or piano, across her feeds. And you even see the beginnings of Driver's License, you know, of her sitting down being like, I wrote a song today. Like, I think it's pretty good. You sort of get these breadcrumbs that lead up to this explosion.
You chatted with her last week or a little bit before last week. What was your experience like? What energy was she bringing? Was she bringing world killing energy? Was she bringing OMG energy? What was it?
I mean, it's like the perfect mix of the two, right? Like, she's a pro. She's been here before. She's like so ready for this moment. Like, she's polished without seeming fake. You know, she's just Disney 5.0 or whatever number we want to say we're on now. You know, it's just like she just has it all together. She was talking about like studying statistics and stuff. You know, she was in Salt Lake City, where I guess is where they filmed the show, in, you know, our little house or apartment there that she shares with her mom. And, you know, it was like, she's just obviously a professional and knows how to handle this. And then at the same time, like, she's a 17-year-old with the biggest song in the world. Like, she was thrilled. You know, she just received a cake from Halsey with like a picture of her driver's license on it. That was just sort of like a hat tip and congratulations from like another big pop girl. You know, she'd gotten this Instagram comment from Taylor Swift, you know, saying that's my baby. Like, you know, like all of her dreams are coming true in a matter of days. And again, I think like she knew that this was going to be her entree into a new world, but I just don't think they expected it all to happen this fast.
Do you think Taylor really wanted to say, that's not the baby, that's my baby? Or you think she just said, that's my baby?
I think Taylor was quoting her own mom in her Instagram comment. That's some like, you know, deep Swifty something. Like, but I'll leave that to the others.
There are entire side Tumblrs devoted to just that particular micro Swift meta narrative.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Like you say, one of the things that's notable about Olivia Rodrigo is she was already on this road. It's not like she just showed up to the road. She was already totally on the road. And so what do you feel like that portends moving forward? Because one of the things I've been struck by, and as I mentioned before, is like the song is not going anywhere. And I think it's a really good song. I do feel there's a little bit of restraint in the song that I'm a little skeptical of. It's a very big song from someone who doesn't quite know if they're allowed to make a very big song yet. I think she might make even bigger songs once that state of mind is like fully internalized. But I wonder what you think it portends for like the next 6 months, especially given that it is pretty quiet out here as far as competition and other people advancing their own narratives. What do you think she's going to do?
I think about this a lot in terms of hit singles, right? Like we think a lot about what is a hit single, how is a hit single made, what does it mean for its artist. And something that Billie Eilish did not have, which I think really helped her in presenting herself the way she has, is she never had a song that was bigger than her. She didn't have a smash before people knew who she was. She had a lot of songs that were very popular, but she was building an audience for herself, not from one song. Driver's License can go really quickly down the road of Old Town Road. It can go the way of Dance Monkey. You know, these are songs that I think we saw grow this quickly and become phenomenon in that way. And it's going to be tough for those artists to ever like get out from underneath that, right? Because they just didn't have a chance to introduce themselves to audiences before the biggest hit probably of their career. Olivia Rodrigo, I think, maybe has a better chance than most because she is a songwriter, because she is a lifelong artist. You know, she's spent most of her conscious life trying to do this one thing. And I think hopefully she will take her time and become that capital A artist, as opposed to rushing, trying to take advantage of this, you know, ring it for all it's worth, and then run out of steam. You think there's more here?
I do. Yeah, I do think there's more. And I think your point about Billy is right. That's where the SoundCloud 5 years ago versus TikTok today, that's where that difference really comes into play, because Billy could kind of develop relatively quietly in those spaces without having this thrust upon her. But what I do think is Olivia Rodrigo seems sturdy enough prior to this that even let's say worst case scenario, this does become a pure one hit wonder in the pop mega hit sense. What she's going to return to is still something pretty sturdy. She's not, her baseline is already pretty high. So I think that's really her baseline before has now become like her basement. It's become her bottom. And I do think that, especially if they keep the pairing with this producer, I do think that a two or three more songs like this on an EP, you carry this out through the summer, and then you're recording a bigger album with a couple different producers for the fall into the winter. I do think her voice is good. Her sense of pacing when she's singing is really good. It's theatrical without seeming corny. You know, it's like she knows how to hit the moment. She knows how to pivot, but it doesn't seem like, ah, oh, geez, like, wah, wah, wah. It's not like that. It's just like someone who studied how songs are paced is now delivering a very, very well-paced song. So I think those component parts are all there. I would say I'm optimistic. I think I'm bi. I'm a bi rating on Olivia Rodrigo.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's right. I think, but I, you know, to play like industry prognosticator again, like there is the question now, and I'm sure they're having these discussions in, you know, the boardroom or more likely on Zoom, which is, do we try to rush out an album to take advantage of this? Do we take it really slow? Do we do a driver's license remix? Do we automatically put her with Greg Kirsten and like the biggest, or, and you know,
don't do it,
Max Martin and the biggest producers we can imagine? Or do we keep her with Dan Nigro, this guy who was, you know, in a like emo band, you know, like, and has never had a smash before? You know, these are all probably things that are swirling that they didn't expect to have to confront this soon. And like, we've seen people, I think, get jittery at success like this and make false moves. So it's going to be up to them to sort of like keep their head down.
To close out that thought, you think of Taylor and Nathan, you think of Lord and Joel. To kind of step outside of pop, you know, you think of Drake and 40. You have people who their close camps when they were young understand how to nurture their sounds. And they were slow and deliberate in how they inched beyond that. You mean Billy and Phineas, right? So if I was them, I'd be sticking close to the victorious team right now, no pun, but I'd be sticking close to that team and being very, very careful not to be careless and all of a sudden have 10 different versions of Olivia Rodrigo going around.
Yeah, so this guy, Dan Nigro, who she worked with, he was the front man of As Tall as Lions, which was a band I never really had any familiarity with. I think they were like, you know, they were a Triple Crown Long Island emo band.
Yeah, not a major band.
Yeah, sort of like sub brand new level of that period. And then he had some success working with Conan Gray, who I think is another sort of good parallel for Olivia Rodrigo. And it makes sense that, you know, he's had his hand in both of those processes. Conan Gray, you know, obviously hasn't had a smash on the level of Driver's License, but it seems like this guy is sort of not of the industry hit making scene in such a way that he's going to push Olivia Rodrigo into places she doesn't want to go musically. You know, I think they're partners and they're going to sort of take each other's lead for the time being, which, you know, seems like if you make something like Driver's License on your first try, like that seems like a decent path.
Maybe we should close out the segment with a song by As Tall as Lions just to see from whence this all was born. What do you think?
I mean, it's up to you to find one, because again, I don't know this band.
Okay, I'm going to go on Spotify and find one. Let's listen to a song that maybe bridges that old world and this new world. This is Ghost of York. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you.
At New York Times Cooking, we believe that you shouldn't have to run to the grocery store every time you want to make something delicious. I'm Melissa Clark, and my recipe for the most adaptable one-bowl cornmeal pound cake is a comforting loaf cake that you can have fresh out of the oven in under an hour using ingredients you probably already have on hand. And sliced, toasted, and buttered, it's practically a bread, so it gives you a pass to eat cake for breakfast. You can find so many easy, flexible pantry recipes like this one at nytcooking.com. NYT Cooking has you covered with recipes, advice, and inspiration for any occasion.
Back for part two of the driver's license et al. Extravaganza. You know we can't just have one voice on this phenomenon. We want to blow it out, bring in a couple of writers who have spent some time on the internet thinking hard about Olivia Rodrigo and driver's license and all that has flowed from that. Today, we're joined by two podcast first-timers. Welcome them. Larisha Paul is here. Hey, Larisha.
Hi, how's it going?
Very, very well. Happy to have you here. Larisha is a writer for MTV News and Billboard and wrote at length about Olivia Rodrigo for Paper when Driver's License was popping. So Larisha's going to be here given that context. Also, Justin Curto. Justin, what's good?
Hey.
Justin is a news writer at Vulture and is staying on this beat amongst many other beats. So what I want to talk to y'all about, it's easy to talk about driver's license as a phenomenon in terms of the scale of its success. And it's easy to talk about the gossip side, and we'll probably get to a little bit of the gossip side. But I want to think about driver's license in terms of where does it sit in the rest of pop music. And I know both of y'all have thought about this and written about this. Larisha, why don't we start with you? Tell me a little bit about what you're hearing in this song and where you think it's drawing its power from, and what kind of already happening movements maybe does it have some kinship with?
I think, like most people, on first listen, I heard the Taylor Swift influence. I heard the Lorde influence, which I saw a lot of people saying they didn't know where people were getting that from. And the bridge is very Lorde-esque to me. And I think in that, what we're really hearing is just like this youthful, like, dedication to exactly what it is that she's saying in the song. I think it's really easy to kind of forget how melodramatic it can feel to be a teenager and how important everything feels. And I think what we're hearing in the delivery of Olivia's vocals is like this really powerful weight of importance in what she's saying. And it seems so grandesque and so important in a way that if you kind of remove it from the context of the lyrics, she just really feels like whatever she's singing about is the most important thing happening to her at that moment. And to everyone else, okay, it's a breakup, like, you know, she'll get over it. But in the moment, in her sitting there, like, you know, at the DMV in the parking lot or whatever the case may be, being like, well, I was supposed to drive to this place now that I finally have my license, but now what am I supposed to do? Go drive around in circles? Or, you know, it's very like, to her, this is like, how could this happen? I could have never imagined. I think when you're young, you really want to think that you have everything figured out and you have everything in place. And it's like, this is going to happen and this is going to happen. And it's going to go exactly as I planned. And the whole song is just really a breakdown of her realizing that maybe she was wrong and it's not happening the way that she thought it was going to be. And I think she really puts all of that effort into her vocals and the way that it's like, it's not bordering on a scream, but like you can hear the emotion and that she's really just genuinely upset about not being able to drive somewhere. And it just seems like really minuscule, but to her, and like putting yourself in her shoes, it's just like, this was bad for her.
Can I assure you that you can be melodramatic well into middle age? Just FYI, just keep that in mind. And as far as the vocals, I totally feel you, because I think, especially as she's building up to the chorus, the da, 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 like that kind of build, when she's doing that, like that's the texture and the feel of that is like very much on that. Justin, talk to me a little bit about what you're hearing in this song, because you had also triangulated a couple of other influences.
I agree with Larisha. I think right away, and I came to this song a bit late, so after people were already starting to talk about Taylor Swift liking it and things like that. So I think right away I heard the Taylor Swift, specifically this sort of late period Taylor Swift that we're in right now, with the sort of Evermore folklore, bare bones, stripped down singer-songwriter style. And I also agree that the Lord jumped out right away for me. Like, the bridge reminds me a lot. I think it's Perfect Places and just sort of melodrama at large, but also the bridge is drawing on like these big Taylor Swift bridges on Lover, especially something like Cruel Summer, which it was funny to find out that Olivia covered that, because that's a big touch point here. But I think also kind of triangulating her with some of these other pop singers who got to varying levels of big over the past 10 years, who were also singing about being teenagers, singing about the suburbs, I think, too. So I think Billie Eilish is someone there with this sort of quieter vocal. And there were like specific lines jumping out to me, like the last line of the chorus I was stuck on for a while. And I was like, no, that's kind of a Billie Eilish type flair to it. I feel like I also get this sort of underlying Alessia Cara generally as someone who's singing about being a teen, singing about growing up, using a lot of piano. And then just generally, sort of in the song, sort of in just the stylism of it all, there's something about the 1975 in there for me.
So I wanted to talk about two of those references. Well, and I should say, I'm struck that both of you heard the Lord in there, because I didn't hear quite as much Lord, although I agree if it's there, it's in the bridge. I was really struck, and I wish I had stumbled upon this before I wrote whatever like little squib of a whatever I wrote about it. The Alessia Cara thing is, I think, really something. We should listen to Wild Things just to kind of give a little Alessia Cara energy, sprinkle it on the podcast. So, we brought our drum and this is how we dance. No mistaking, we make our breaks. If you don't like our 808s, then leave us alone, because we don't need your policies. We have no apologies for being find me where the wild things are. My baby, all right. Don't mind us, yeah. Find me where the wild things are. My baby, just fine. Don't mind us, yeah. Find me where the wild things are. I lose my
look, all teenagers are a little sad, a little sulky, a little skeptical. When Alessia Cara first came out, that was kind of her stock in trade. But she did bring a genuine sense of skepticism into that space. And I was trying, and I hadn't pieced it together right when I was first listening to Driver's License. But there is a lot of that in Driver's License. And I started to feel like perhaps Alessia Cara was someone that she was thinking about or that she was indebted to. Justin, talk a little bit more about the 1975 for this, because I'm curious to hear more about that.
Generally, and I know this has a lot to do with the visual language of the 1975's music videos and stuff, but there's just something cinematic about the whole thing that makes me think of the 1975, and it makes me think of maybe like stills of videos that you might have seen on Tumblr or something like that. And I think that was something that clicked for me more when I saw the video, but just as a song, it's going for something cinematic and it's going for something really big. And I think it's easy to pin that just on, like, that's a very Taylor Swift move too. But I think that has something to do with this boom of the 1975, especially in the last maybe 3-4 years.
Larissa, what do you think is happening on Driver's License that is making it connect so powerfully? Because it's one thing to put out a song that's effective musically. It's another thing to put out a song that maybe is an inheritor of some other things that are happening in pop music. But the intensity of the connection that is happening with this is above and beyond any of those individual entry points. What do you think is going on to give it that added layer of like substantive, deep, and seemingly sustained impact?
I've been thinking about this a lot, just even like in the context of the influences in 1975, especially thinking about like a song like Somebody Else and like how Gen Z especially like kind of gravitates towards that song. But I think what's happening with Olivia is that it's important, and I think it matters, that most people did not know a single thing about this girl before this song came out. And because she is so virtually unknown to the general public and like beyond her Disney Plus audience and like her TikTok audience or Instagram following, I think it really matters that this is just a 17-year-old girl who's really pouring her heart out on this song. And I think that's what people are really connecting with. They're not connecting with some drawn out spectacle of teasing the launch of this song. And like, you know, it was very much like she posted it on Instagram because she had got back from the DMV and was crying in her car and sat down and was like, this would make a good song. And because it's coming from such like a raw and human and like non-important event, not that getting your license isn't important. I don't have my license. I don't really care. But
it's important. Like, it's important. It's important.
I get around fine, but I can't drive. I think it's okay.
I can't believe we're slandering driving on the driver's license episode. Unreal.
It's totally fine. Like, if you can drive, like, good for you. Some of us can't relate. My permit expired, like, 5 years ago. It doesn't matter. But I think what it is that it's such a moment that so many people can relate to or can't relate to. But the emotion of it is what's really driving it. Because it's like, you came out of this situation, this relationship, or whatever this was, and your breaking point was leaving the DMV. There are so many things that you could really collapse over when a relationship ends. Like, you see a picture of them or they come across your timeline or whatever the case may be. It's like when you're really having a bad day and then like you drop your keys and you're trying to open your door and then everything falls apart, because that was like the one thing that really pushed you over the edge. And I think this situation was whatever happened with her and whoever is what pushed her over the edge.
Well, let's not say whoever. Okay, so let's talk briefly about the meta narrative here.
I didn't know when I was allowed to mention his name.
So Olivia is on High School Musical, the musical. She's on the Disney Plus show.
Yes.
Her boyfriend is played by Joshua Bassett. Joshua Bassett is, let's say, presumably the subject, or at least in the eye of the people who pay attention to the machinations of these actresses and actors, is the subject of this song. He then released a song the following week called Lie, Lie, Lie. Let's listen to a little bit of it.
You're the victim this time. Oh, and you wanna make it seem like it's your call. Acting like everything's fine. You've been lying to yourself, lie to everyone else. Only thinking about yourself. Darling, what the hell?
Big Yawn Mendez energy in this song. extremely big. And then Joshua Bassett is allegedly dating, I don't know how real all this is, dating Sabrina Carpenter, who is a longer running Disney ecosystem star. And then Sabrina Carpenter put out a song the following week, and it's turned into this whole big gossip rag teen magazine explosion. How does that shape the reception of this music? Larissa, what do you think? How does it shape the reception of the music as music?
As music, I think for Olivia being the first one to put music out, she's in a much better place than Joshua and Sabrina, just because the rest of this narrative was not attached to Olivia so much as it will be for Joshua and as it has been for Sabrina since she released Skin, just because Olivia did get the first word and she kind of really got to set the pace for this stuff that no one really knows much about. The whole timeline of it is kind of iffy, and so no one really knows what happened, and it's all very alleged. And when asked about it, she was like, I think that's the least important part of the song. So now it's kind of leaving everyone to kind of scour through the scraps that Joshua and Sabrina are giving us to figure out whatever needs to fill in those missing pieces that Olivia left open.
Of all the three of them, Olivia started this cycle. Probably maybe she was the least well-known of the three. I mean, obviously Sabrina Carpenter's been around a longer time, but she kind of had the least to lose. And then in very, very quick order, she's leapfrogged the other two, and they just seem like they're hopelessly trapped in the vortex of narrative that her song has created. And they sort of have no hope, at least in the short term, of getting outside of it. Justin, based on like what you've been seeing and paying attention to. Do you feel like it's possible for Josh and Sabrina in this moment to exist outside of the driver's license context, or they just have to kind of hold that for now?
I think they're in it. I think that it was funny. I was listening to Driver's License on Spotify today, and it gave me skin right afterward. I think that people are consuming these things together, whether the artists want it to be or not. And I agree that it's really interesting that, well, not only did Olivia get the first word, but she's obviously going to get the biggest hit out of it all when Joshua and Sabrina seem to be the people who were kind of taking the trends of the charts more. John, like you said, Joshua, this song is a big, like, Shawn Mendes-esque song. The Sabrina Carpenter song, it was, like, giving me a lot of Selena Gomez and maybe Camila Cabello and things like that. And these are things that have been, like, tested on the charts more, whereas, like, Driver's License, I feel like, sounds a bit different than what had been topping the charts lately. And it seems like that's been going for Olivia, too.
I think that's fair. And I think, you know, I'm interested in thinking about Driver's License kind of in like the bigger picture of the last 5 years of kind of what young women in pop music have been doing. And you do see a long tail of Taylor, post-Taylor Confessional. There was a moment when Lorde, especially after the second record, where you would sort of see kind of like mini Lordes start to pop up, but it never really took hold because there's something I think fundamentally anti-commercial about Lorde, even though she makes very big accessible records. There's something kind of anti-commercial about her. And if you really want to draw all this forward, post Alessia, post Billy, this Olivia Rodrigo song is maybe the first song to come along that effectively synthesizes all of those lessons, but really maintains the strong tunefulness of a Taylor, like really like allows the darkness to come in, but holds tight to the big, bright tunefulness. And I think that's why it's been able to kind of like accelerate so quickly.
What I was also kind of picking up on and thinking about this in comparison to is someone like Troye Sivan. I think he goes for a similar like pop suburbia kind of thing, especially on his first album. There's literally a song called Suburbia about driving, which makes a lot of sense. And it's also melodramatic and just really, really emotional in a non-emotional way. You know, the fact that we don't really see him up on the charts a lot either. He's also someone who's talked about being inspired by someone like Lorde and Taylor Swift or Ariana Grande, interestingly. And Olivia may be the first person to have done it in a way where it doesn't feel like it's coming from anyone else. And it's in a way that's palatable enough for audiences to really tap into what she's doing. And the fact that this is the first song that people are actually hearing, she had the stuff from the High School Musical, the series soundtrack. All I Want was a big song from that TikTok really grabbed a hold of. And I think from that being the first interest.
We should listen to the beginning of All I Want, which is the first breakout or more widely heard for Olivia Rodrigo.
A guy told me I was a star. He held the door, held my hand in the dark. And he's perfect on paper, but he's lying to my face.
So I know, obviously, that All I Want is really big on TikTok. Was it big before Driver's License?
Yes.
It was. Okay, I remember hearing it, but I wasn't sure if I was, like, tricking myself or not.
Yeah, pretty much the show came out in, what, November 2019. By December 2019, that was, like, my entire For You page, every other video using that audio. And it just kind of carried over maybe into January, February, and then after that, it kind of tapered off until now. It just got brought back.
It's back. It's so big now. It's so big.
Yes.
And an interesting thing about All I Want is it has the kind of like, how can I say it? Like the fullness of feeling that Driver's License has, but it's not slick. Like Driver's License is very slick, very, very crisp, crisply produced, really, really like clean, big production. There is something much simpler and plainer about All I Want, but from a songwriting perspective and from an emotion perspective, it's all there already in that song. It just took this this extra layer of kind of like a super boost to kind of end up a driver's license. But if you listen to the older Olivia Rodrigo stuff, it's like that stuff is there that she was writing. It was all in there already.
Yes. And the interesting thing about that, I forget where she told the story, but the conception of All I Want was that the showrunners for the High School Musical series came to Olivia and asked her specifically to write for the show. And she had never been, you know, she was what, 16 at the time, probably 15, 16. She had never been in a situation where she needed to sit down and write a song specifically for anything. And they had seen her writing and were just like, well, yeah, we would like you to do something for the show instead of trying to find someone who sounded like her, which I think is really interesting in that that's a lot of responsibility to put on somebody who's just got here. The show isn't anything crazy yet, but for her to kind of pull that out and then for that to be like the biggest hit from the soundtrack, I guess it's, you kind of could have predicted that Driver's License, like had you been paying attention at that time, Driver's License isn't that much of a surprise because it's like she already had this kind of going.
If we talk a little bit about Disney, you know, and obviously the level of popularity of High School Musical, the musical, the series, is different than the kind of like OG 1.0 era or 2.0 era, even Disney superpower moment. But I do think one of the things that I'm struck by about the success of Driver's License is it feels like a pop song made by someone who did not come from the Disney ecosystem. And one of the things that earlier stars always struggled with was this tension between like, am I the character or am I my own person? In the case of Miley, quite literally that tension. But even when it came to folks like Demi, there was this tug of war. I remember interviewing Demi on her first album, and they were people in the room hovering, being so uptight about what kind of questions she could answer and could what she could talk about. And it was so clear that she was frustrated with it, but didn't know a way to navigate it. It seems like that's less the case now in this era. Justin, do you feel a difference in terms of like, you know, Disney, whatever this is, 5.0 or 4.0 versus 1.0?
Definitely. I think part of that's there in how many people, like Larisha was getting at, for how many people this was their first introduction to Olivia Rodrigo. Like they had no hangups about her before, maybe hadn't been keeping up with the series, and the song just got so big that it reached them. And then also with, from what I understand, High School Musical, the musical, the series is only one season in. So she doesn't have that much to go off of in the first place. So it all seems like it's happening very early. One of the big hallmarks of this being there being a clear break between the music career and the Disney show is having the curse word in the bridge on the song.
Sorry, I just had to clap for cursing. And you know, cursing, I mean, look, and not to be like dumb about it, but it's like even Taylor didn't curse for like three albums, yeah, or whatever, yeah. You know. So when I first heard this, I was like, oh, we cursing now? Okay. That's what, okay. That's good to know. It would have been unthinkable in the late 2000s or early 2010s. It would have been unthinkable for a person, a young performer actively involved in a Disney property, to do something like that. And, you know, High School Musical, the musical series, is coming back for a second season. It's not like it's the end of the show. It's not like Ariana finishing the Nickelodeon show and then becoming a pop star where there's some kind of clean break. It's not that. It's they're still like, we're going to have to watch season two and watch these two act against each other, you know, and they're living parallel lives on screen and out in the world. And I'm sure that would make me curse too, if I had to do it. Larisha, what's your vibe on the cursing?
I mentioned the same thing in my paper piece, because Ali and AJ just came out with the explicit version of Potential Breakup Song, which came out, what, 14 years ago? It took them 14 years.
And TikTok success. Yes.
To curse five times on a song. And I think it's also a testament to the fact that a Disney audience is not the same as a Disney Plus audience. I think there's a difference in the accessibility, whether or not your parents are going to pay for you to have Disney Plus, and rather than you're already paying for cable, turn on Disney. And you're not going to see any of this on Disney. Even on the show, like some of the scenes and like the intimacy of some of the scenes is very much like, this is Disney capital P Plus. Like this is very, you know, detached from the actual channel itself. And I think in that is also where she got more freedom. Her label association didn't have anything to do with Disney. So it was very much keeping her music and her acting very separate, which I don't know whose decision that was, but it was very smart because I think we'd be watching a very different narrative play out right now if this was something that, like, you know how they used to run the music videos and stuff on Disney, and like you'd be watching Demi sing Don't Forget, you know, in between Hannah Montana and Sunny with a Chance. So I think because she's not beholden to this corporation, it's not stripping her as much of her freedom. There's no marketing of her as something that she's not.
That other generation, Miley, Demi, Jonas Brothers, etc., they were so much closer to whatever the zeitgeist was. They were so much closer to the zeitgeist. This Disney Plus show, it's interesting, but I would not argue that it is close to the center of the zeitgeist. And I think that, in addition to Larissa with what you just said, which is they keeping her acting and her music separate, those two things allow people to arrive at Olivia Rodrigo as a pop singer without any of the baggage. Because you don't necessarily, you don't know what camp rock is, you know, like you're not carrying that with you when you first play a song. You're just arriving at it as, oh, a new young teenage female singer. And I think whether that's intentional or whether that was like a stroke of good luck, I know part of the reason that the second season of High School Musical and Musical series, I'm gonna keep saying this, hasn't come out yet was because of COVID and, you know, everything got bumped back yet. So she had this basically almost a year of runway to just become this person. And the Disney stuff becomes, I don't want to say a footnote, but like it's a side thing verging on an inconvenience. And I would actually wonder, given how successful she's probably likely to be in music in the next few months, if they're not negotiating her exit from that show, like right now after season two.
I remember when the song came out and it was breaking the chart records and my editor was like, hey, you should write something about this. I was really skeptical that it would even hit number one because High School Musical, the series was being treated as, like you were saying, this more novelty side thing.
All right, here's the last thing I want to talk about, which is we have Driver's License, then we've got Joshua Bassett's song, then we got Sabrina Carpenter's song. We haven't listened to Skin by Design, but here, let's listen to a little bit of Skin.
Want my heart to be breaking, breaking, no. I'm happy and you hate it, hate it, oh. And I'm not asking you to let it go. But you've been telling your side, so I'll be telling mine, oh.
Skin is actually good.
Wow. I like Skin too.
Oh, what?
Skin kind of bangs. Skin kind of bangs. And you know what, though? I wrote about Sabrina in this song and this whole fiasco with Driver's License for Billboard because it seems like, oh, she's 21 and she's responding to the 17-year-old song, like being like, I got the boy and you don't and he's on my skin. And like that whole thing, it doesn't, the optics are not good for her. It's not looking good.
Very much not good.
And the song wouldn't have got as many plays. It wouldn't be, you know, it's going to end up being her first Hot 100 placement. You know, it wouldn't be all of that if it weren't for the driver's license drama. Mm-hmm. But also outside of the context of the song, we didn't know that she was responding directly to Olivia. Allegedly, she says she's not, but then she is. So it's like, you know, who knows? But it would be a good song. We wouldn't be like, you know, I've seen so many people being like, oh, it's like the songwriting's not good and it's not even a good song. And if you were going to do that, like you should have, you know, worked longer on it because the songwriter posted that it was written the Thursday before it came out. And people just being like, she thought this would be her Better Than Revenge, Taylor Swift moment. And it's just like, but we wouldn't be saying that if we didn't know who the song was allegedly about. If you take all of the rest of that out, it is a solid song. It's catchy. It's an earworm. Like I keep wanting to listen to it, even outside of the context of Driver's License. I'm not putting the two of them next to each other. They're very different vibes, and I just don't want to disturb my energy like that. But I do think it's a good song. I think it's kind of unfortunate that the circumstances might overshadow Sabrina's talent as a musician. Just because people are going to be so caught up on the who, what, when, and why about the song.
Okay, so I don't feel the song quite on the same level as you guys do. And I will say, I saw Sabrina perform at Jingle Ball some number of years ago, probably 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and it was not, it was a miss. It was not it. It was not good. It was a struggle for everyone involved, myself and those on stage. It was a struggle. I am not sold on Sabrina Carpenter as a standalone musician, but I'm intrigued that you guys are. So that's, I'm gonna take that under advisement. But with that in mind, here's what I want to know. And you can answer this question with a percentage number or a brief, pithy throwaway statement. To what percent do you believe that there has been some collusion between the teams who represent these three individuals to roll out these songs in a way that will maximize the attention given to all of them? I'm not saying official record label. I'm not saying official Disney. I'm just saying like back channel, friends of friends, who knows what. Do you think that there's collusion? If so, what percent likely do you think it is? Justin, what do you think?
I haven't really thought about that much with it. I don't know why, but from what I saw, it seemed like the Olivia song and the Joshua song like were both maybe announced around the same time. I don't think there's much there. I think people might want that to be there, but to me, it's not.
Larisha, what about you?
See, I have thought about this quite a lot. Something I spend my time doing.
Speak on it.
So I don't think that it is any type of like, you know, label organization or anything like that on Olivia's side or Joshua's side, because obviously like his song was posted on Instagram, like the demo of it was posted at the end of 2019, like around the time the show came out in the first place. So there's no way that could have had anything to do with it. But I do think Sabrina just recently, I think it was announced today that she signed to Island Records. And I think that they saw an opening. I think they saw the chatter online about is she not the blonde girl? And I think they saw it as an opportunity to really launch her at this new label. And I think it backfired. I think they thought that her song and her side of things would be received differently and not in the way that people are receiving it as like you know, her overreacting to a song that wasn't even about her, to one line of song. And it makes her look bad. So I'm hoping it wasn't that her label was just like, yeah, we're going to, or like anyone's like, oh yeah, we're going to orchestrate this for you, because I would be firing everyone if they orchestrated this and it had me looking like this.
Everybody fired. Okay.
Like it's time to go.
I'm a little more cynical than both of y'all. I think that it is, I don't think it's like over 50% likely, but I don't think it's like under 20% likely.
Yeah, maybe at 35.
I feel like when you're traveling in similar circles, you are aware of what your fellow travelers are working on, whether directly or indirectly or ambiently. And you kind of know like, hey, it's probably Olivia's probably song is probably going to be read about being about Josh. And Josh people like, yo, you kind of have a song that like could probably just, we could put that song out and like maybe it could be in conversation. I'm not saying that there's like a grand cabal of folks like sitting at a table somewhere in a dark room plotting release dates. I'm just saying that like a few DMs, a few back and forth pings, a few like, hey, I wonder, you know, when Josh's song is going to come out. Hey, well, I wonder if we could, a little bit of that. That's just like decades of baked in skepticism.
The Joshua song doesn't strike me as very planned to me. Like lyrically compared to Olivia's song and Sabrina's song, he doesn't really give us anything in the way of references or anything like that, which is kind of what leads me to believe it was just kind of like you were saying, a song that he had that, okay, maybe related if you really pick at it.
I'm just saying we all make choices in our lives every single day, and those choices are choices. I just want to emphasize that. Larisha, Justin, what a pleasure. Thank you for coming. Appreciate
Thanks
it.
So Thank much. You.
That is our show. Thank you again, Justin and Larisha. Thank you, Joe. Listen to every podcast ever at nytimes.com/podcast. Email us, podcast@nytimes.com. Tell me some Disney stories. Subscribe to podcasts anywhere you get your audio. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, etc., etc. Our producer is Pedro Rosado from Headstepper Media. We will be back next week, and we will send you out with some OG Olivia Rodrigo for the heads. You know, real ones know. Here's Start of Something New from the High School Musical, the musical, the series original soundtrack. Let's go!
I know that something has changed. Never felt this way. And right here tonight, this could be the start.